Well, it's always a privilege and wonderful to sing about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it stirs us up as we think about those wonderful truths about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world to save sinners, Christ who comes into this world on God's mission to come and rescue sinners and to unite us to himself. And so this morning we want to continue with our series on evangelism. It is very important for us as a church and as believers to evangelize, which means that as you go about your day, and I was using the example, I don't eat pies anymore, but you stand with your pie and your Coke at Spar, and here is a person in front of you whom you do not know whether they know the gospel, whether you have to, that we have to share the good news, the message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in him, and so being forgiven of our sins and united to God. And so this morning we are going to continue. We looked at it this morning. We looked at a summarized version of what I'm preaching on today as we went through the gospel part of our how to training one another and encouraging one another to preach the gospel to ourselves and to others. And so this morning I'm going to continue relying a lot on the preparation you had to do for FBS, the paper by J.I. Packer on what is the gospel message. And so please let's turn to Romans chapter 1, and I want to read from verse 16 to explain the importance of why we need to know what the gospel is and why we need to preach it. There are many little ineffective gospels out there, and so often as a pastor and as Christians, we would ask people, what is the gospel? Do you believe? We want to determine whether they believe, and they would start off telling the story of their own life and their own successes. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Gospel is very specific. It is a message. It's a good news of Christ and him crucified. It's a message that the Lamb of God was crucified because man is caught in his sin and God is angry with man. And God is providing his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called grace in Titus, to come and deal with human guilt, human shame, the debt that we have before God, so that we might receive godly forgiveness or divine forgiveness. And so it's very important for us to understand that when we talk about new birth and new life, it is not some airy-fairy experience. It is an understanding of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came on a mission sent by the Father, determined before time to come and rescue those who belong to him. Paul expresses the importance of this in Romans chapter 1, and Adrian read this morning wonderful passages for us explaining that it's by faith in Christ and it's his righteousness, not my own. And so Paul starts off this letter in verse 16 and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." We have to get the gospel right. If we don't get the gospel right, we cannot be saved. We can only be saved when we understand the four main strokes of the gospel. When we talk about the gospel, we must understand, first of all, it is a message about God. You can write that down. It is a message about God. But it is a message about God who comes to deal with you, with our human predicament. And what is that? Sin. So if you want to write down the 4 points, and those who are in FBS have got an advantage to you who weren't here this morning, because the gospel is a message about God. The gospel is a message about sin. The gospel is a message about Christ. And the gospel is a summons to faith and repentance. Those are the 4 main strokes that we will be looking at this morning. If the gospel message is going to be proclaimed, and if it's going to be brought to the hearers, it must be brought with this content that it is about God, it is about sin, it is about Christ. And as we bring that message and end off the salvation message of Christ coming, we have to say, and God requires of every human being on earth to believe and to repent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's start with the first point. You already have the outline. The gospel is a message about God because God is the creator. God is also the sustainer of the universe. In him, he did not only create it, but in him all things hold together, talking about Christ. Acts 17 verse 24 says, "The God who made the world and all things in it." He made everything. He made you. And therefore, you are accountable to him. You are not your own. He made every human being. He made all things. We are accountable to him. The gospel is not only about the creator and the sustainer, the Lord of heaven and earth, that does not dwell in the temples made with hands, but he is also a holy God. He is so separate from us. He is just. He must punish sin. He will not remain or be just if he overlooks sin. But he is at the same time gracious and merciful, full of loving kindness and truth, patient, the provider. The gospel is about God. The fact that he's a creator. In his character, he is holy. His standard is absolute perfection. You and I will never know. And he requires of his creatures to worship him, to live under his rule, to live under his authority, to receive the instruction of how life must be lived, not to invent new ideas of how we live in this world, but to receive it from him, to glorify him. You were made to glorify God. You were not made for anything else but to glorify God and to enjoy God. This is the gospel message. We owe our very existence to him. Whether there is good or bad in our lives, we have to remember that we are always in his hand and we are always under his eyes. And you and I have been made to worship him, to serve him, to show him praise, and to live our lives for his glory. Friends, this is the foundation of the gospel. And until you grasp this truth, the rest of the gospel will make no sense to you. It will remain irrelevant. This is the statement that man is constantly and completely dependent upon God for all humans. live and move in Him. We are not made that we can function by ourselves. And even you whom I sit here this morning, who hate God, even you are sustained by Him. So the gospel starts here. It's the fact that you and I, we are creatures. We are totally dependent upon God. He is the creator. He has absolute claim on you. And only when we have learned this truth, that He's creator and there's an absolute claim on us, can we really see what sin is. Because sin in itself says, I can live without you. I don't need your sustaining. Sin is independent from God. We must know what it means to call God our creator before we can grasp what it means to speak of Him as a redeemer. Nothing can be achieved by talking about sin and salvation where this lesson, this foundational truth that He's the creator, you are the creatures, you are accountable to Him, has not been learned. You have to understand this. So we have these examples in scriptures. When Paul was preaching to the Jews in Antioch, he did not need to mention to them the fact that God created, because they had the Old Testament. They were fully informed. They had this knowledge. They heard it when they opened their scriptures. There it was. Genesis chapter 1, the beginning. There's the creation. But when Paul preached to the Gentiles who did not have the Old Testament, you go read about this in Acts chapter 17, what does he do and where does he begin? He begins with the gospel. God is the creator. This is a very important doctrine for us to understand. Man is a creature made by God, never to be independent, but to constantly receive the truth of God, how to live life from the top down, never to invent it for himself. And so in our culture, which is a very interesting culture, many people say they are Christians. There are many who have grown up in churches, who sat under the preaching or some kind of preaching, but they are immersed in a culture that lives independent of God. And it's important for us to express and make them understand this truth when we preach the gospel, that they are dependent upon God. They are accountable to God. And so the gospel starts with creation. That you and I are a creature. And as we understand this, that we are dependent upon Him and accountable to Him, we really understand what sin is, because sin says, no, I want to do my own thing. I'm not dependent upon Him. Which leads us to the second point, which also introduces the second point, which is the message about sin. When we share the gospel, we have to share how we have fallen short of God's standard. We have to explain how we reject God and how we move towards ourselves. Genesis chapter 3 explains to us how all of humanity became guilty. We were all born in sin, guilty before God. Because our president, Adam, our representative before God, sinned. And all of humanity fell into sin. All of humanity is guilty. All of humanity is filthy. All of humanity is helpless and sin, and now stand under God's anger. And it's not, we can't say, but I wasn't there. So I didn't choose to, for my desire to elevate myself and be like God, knowing good and evil. That was Adam and Eve. Friends, have you looked at your life the last 24 hours? You will see that your life and your heart wants independence away from God. It is there. The evidence is there. It is in our faces that we are sinners. We want to live independently away from God. And this is what sin actually is. So often we look at one act and we think we are sinners because we do that one thing over and over. That's not why you're a sinner. You do that act and those many acts because your whole being is sinful. You are a sinner. Under the surface is a huge lake in your heart, and it's filled with sin. And so what comes out in your behavior, it is just what is in your heart. And nothing what we do or try for ourselves will ever work if we attempt to be right with God by ourselves. It will never work because it is sinners who, according to what Adrian read this morning, which was so helpful in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 to 12, which tells us that there is no one who is righteous. There is no one who understands. Now, you might have grown up in a church, but you've never come to faith. You don't really understand the things of God. There's no one who seeks naturally after God. All have turned aside. There it is. Together they have become useless because of their determination to be independent. And so the gospel message shows us ourselves as God sees us. The moment we share the gospel, it starts to teach the hearers and us that we are sinners. And if God had to do and send his son into this world to save sinners, then it starts to explain the extent of our sin. And it's there that we have to start thinking of ourselves as those who are separated from God. So when we share the gospel, it certainly starts with creation. But when it comes to sin, we must be gently and kindly using the scriptures to teach others that it takes God to save you. You cannot save yourself. So when we hear those truths, it leads us to self-despair. And friends, it is so necessary for us to come there. It's necessary when we share the Gospels for others to come there. And not until we have learned our need to get right with God and our inability to do so by any effort of our own can we come to know the Christ who saves us from sin. But there's a great pitfall and a great danger in many Christians sharing the gospel today. There are many people who have a bad conscience about the things they did in secret, or the things they did in the past and no one knows about it. You know about it. Or in their career they have fallen short of the dreams they had. Or in the way they work, they don't keep a certain standard that they've set for themselves or by others. There are many others who have a bad self-image. That's how they call it. They talk of themselves as having a bad self-image. I have unreached goals in my life. I am unhappy. I wish I can just be happy. And friends, the danger exists that when we preach the gospel, when we share and evangelize, we bring a man-centered gospel to the people. And we tell them, come to Jesus and he will solve all your problems. Friends, you will realize if you are truly saved, your problems started the day when you came to Jesus. Or others say, come to Jesus. He's going to make you feel better. And we start referring to sin, not according to Scripture, but we talk about our disorders and our phobias and our addictions. And we present to Jesus to people that we say, come to Jesus and he is going to make all these things right for you. That is not the gospel. That is not hope. That is false. It is fake. It has the appearance of the gospel. We cannot present Christ as a universal psychologist or a cosmic supplier of all my dreams. That's not your greatest need. Your greatest need is that you are a sinner before a holy God and you are in trouble until you receive Christ and your sins are forgiven. It is sin that is offensive to God. We have offended a holy God. The relationship between God and ourselves is disrupted. So to present anything else, we have to redefine sin. And so often there is a sharing of a kind of gospel without talking about sin. Unless people see, Adrian read it this morning, that the law brings a conviction of our sin. It shows us our sin. And unless people see their shortcomings in the light of the law and the holiness of God, they will not see sin. So Jesus becomes a savior of other things. And that's not the true Christ. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15 that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Not those with a bad self-image who think that is the big thing. Or my unreached goals helping you to fulfill your little kingdom and kind of have a sense of achievement. That's not why he came. He came to save us from our sin. Do not redefine sin. When we talk about sin, and when we share the gospel, we want a true conviction. You see, this whole idea of having a bad conscience of what things I've did in the past, so often we think that people, when we share the gospel, that they are coming under conviction and they would say, and they look you in the eye and they would say, oh, you have no idea what I have done when I was young. But my dear friends, that's not conviction. There are people in the world that hate God, who are hardened against God, who also feel bad about things they've done. When a man is distressed about his weaknesses and the wrong things, it does not mean he is necessarily convicted by sin. Nor when people feel miserable about themselves and their failures and their inadequacy. There must be conviction of sin and sin as it is described in Scripture. It is not a saving faith if a man in this condition of just wanting to feel better call on the Lord Jesus Christ to soothe him, to cheer him up, and to make him feel
confident again.
We are not preaching the gospel if we present Jesus Christ merely in terms of man's felt needs. You want happiness? Come to Jesus. You want satisfaction? Come to Jesus. You want peace of mind? Come to Jesus. You want to feel better? Come to Jesus. Are you fed up with yourself? Come to Jesus. Do you want a friend? Come to Jesus. God is not standing there, and we cannot demand from Him what we want. He's not our supermarket where we can go and demand things from Him. My dear friends, conviction is more than having a guilty conscience. Conviction is more than just knowing that I'm frightened of God. As we preach the gospel, people might show it. They are frightened, and their consciences are being pricked. They might even know what is right and wrong. There are people in our churches who reads the Bible, and they are fully aware of the wages of sin, as Scripture says it. But they wanted Jesus to make them happy, and they never get there. They wanted Jesus that just can make them feel better. But my dear friends, that is not what the gospel offers you. That's a false gospel. True conviction is when we preach the gospel and we preach the word, and the Holy Spirit comes and He convinces someone of the truth that God is the creator of the universe, and I'm dependent upon Him, and sin has separated me from God. And so I'm accused of sin. My heart is exposed, and I see that all the inclinations of my heart is continually away from God, and it's toward myself and towards sin. And so we have to be very careful when we talk about sin, that we truly talk about sin as it is described in Scripture. And so as we share the gospel, the Holy Spirit will come, as Jesus promised in John chapter 6, verse 8, and He will come, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He will convict, and that is what we need to look out for when we share the gospel, that He will come to convict of sin. The sin here is the ultimate refusal to believe in God. That's our problem. We want to be independent. And of righteousness, not found in my good works. I can never save myself. No amount of praying or fasting or whatever is going to save me. I need a righteousness which comes from heaven, which Adrian read this morning, and which is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these are the things that we need to be convicted of, that in myself nothing good lives, and I have to completely rely upon Christ for my acceptance before the Father. Holy Spirit will come, He will convict us, and when the Word comes, and both these things must be used, and we can't determine and tell the Holy Spirit what He must do, but we must preach the Word, and you know what the Word does when it's being preached? It says of the word of God that it is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrows, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And so when we preach the gospel, we want people to be convicted. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. For them to be convicted means that mentally, in their minds, they have the information from Scripture that they have sinned against a holy God. I know the facts. I can go and find it in Scripture that we don't please God. And that conviction comes and that piercing comes when we hear the gospel. But with it, there's also emotion. There is, yes, there's fear, but there's also sorrow. I've offended a holy God. I am totally ignoring His authority over my life. I am resistant to Him. I am moving towards myself and away from God. And I put myself first. And I've sinned against Him. That is conviction. The other things about, I want Jesus to meet this and that. No, that's not your greatest need. The greatest need is you are a sinner and you are separated from a holy God, and you're going to stand before Him at judgment seat, and you are going to be condemned. And here God is offering the grace. He says, here's my Son. He died as a substitution in your place. Believe what He has done, that I have accepted it, and come to me. The hope of the gospel is to preach Christ, which means to set Him and bring him to people as the way in which we are right with God. Friends, there are many people who say they preach the gospel, but they preach a false Christ. They preach a Jesus that is going to make sure I have my salary at the end of the month. They preach a Jesus that everything is going to go fine at home, and with my children, they're all going to survive. And He's the one that's going to supply all the thing I need. But this is not the real Christ. This is a misrepresentation of Christ. It is a Christ of our own making. There will be no real salvation. There'll be no real conviction. And so the false evangelists neglect to point to sinners. Oh, we must be gracious. We must be gentle with people. Don't tell them they are sinners. Be careful with those who are like fragile reeds who needs all kinds of assistance just to come through the day. Don't tell them about their condition. No, you have to tell them in love, tell them about their condition and that they are alienated from God. They are exposed to God because of their sin. Their greatest need is to be restored to the Lord Jesus Christ. Please don't buy books at CB, at what's it called? Cum. Just buy those on sale. Because it's full of books that says how you can reach your highest potential. That's not the gospel. Or how you can be joyful, happy, and fulfilled. That's not the gospel. Or how you can have your best life now. There's a title, might be on your shelf. Throw it away when you get home. That's not the gospel. When we preach the gospel, we have to preach the real Christ, who revealed himself to us as a savior, a sin bearer, one who was punished in our place as a substitute, and who satisfied the Father, because we are sinners and we need someone to set us free and save us of our sin. He's also our advocate. He is interceding for us. His wounds present in the Father's face. They are constantly fresh. And He looks at that and He is satisfied that there was a sacrifice once for all for our sin. Find your peace there. Find your joy there. Find your strength there. Because that is the gospel. Trust Christ. The true evangelist, the true Christ evangelist, will always mention sin. Must mention our condition. Must mention that sin alienated us from God and exposed us to his anger. And it must share that our greatest need is not economic equality. Our greatest need is not getting the social injustices sorted out. Our greatest need is to have a restored relationship with Christ. That is the gospel. The gospel is about God. He has absolute claim on our lives. The gospel is about sin. And thirdly, the gospel is about Christ. It's about Christ. It's about Christ who became flesh. He was born a human being, being 100% God, 100% man, sinless, fully obedient to the Father. He came into this world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. He is the sacrifice of sin, the Lamb of God. There is blood. Someone called Christianity a butcher religion. You know what a butcher is? Where you buy the meat. And sometimes it smells. That is what it is. But Christ is also the risen Lord. He was raised from the grave. God approved. God places his stamp of approval on the work of Christ on our behalf and raises him out of the grave. Christ is a perfect savior from sin. That's the issue. And so when we share these things about Christ, which is the third point, we must make sure that when we present the person of Christ, we present it alongside the saving work. Sometimes said that if we present Christ as the person rather than the doctrines about him, that will draw people. But such messages are not the gospel. We have to share the fact that the person of Christ, he is the Savior. And so the truth about the historical Jesus must be preached, and we have to bring these doctrines into the way we present it. There is an incarnation. There is an incarnation. He did become flesh, and before that, he was spirit. And he enters into this world to fulfill another doctrine, the Father's eternal purposes. You find that in Titus chapter 1 verse 2. That is what we looked at last week. And it's very important for us to understand that before the foundations of the earth, God promised to his Son that he's going to give him those who are saved. We have to understand doctrines like atonement. In my place he died. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And so just in sharing the gospel, there are these great truths. There are the truths about the resurrection. There are the truths about the ascension and heaven. And this is where Christ is now. He is Lord in heaven. He is raised. He is enthroned in heaven. He is the King of kings, and he lives to save and to intercede. How wonderful it is if we can talk about Christ that completed his earthly ministry. His limitations are over. He's at the right hand of the Father. His earthly work was successful. He is in glory. He is honored by the Father. That's where he is. He is preparing a place for us. He has started a new work of intercession as a high priest and as a mediator. And he has set a pattern of how he will return to earth one day. And so when we share the Gospels, we share these great truths, but we are not saved by believing. We have to be careful. We are not saved by believing the doctrine, the theory of substitution. We are not saved by believing these complex things. We are saved, and when we present it, through Christ the Lord. It is faith in Jesus Christ, who completed all these wonderful things that God has given to him to do. He completed the atonement. But we have to remember that when we share the gospel, that the people must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in him as a person that we find our salvation. Jesus said, "Come to me and I will give you rest." And so we must be careful when we present the gospel that we present all kinds of theories that happen behind the scenes. We have to present Christ as the Savior. It is in him that we are saved. It is through him and our faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. Which brings us to our fourth and final point, and this is that once we've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he's done all these wonderful things, but he is the Savior, he is in heaven, he is interceding for us. I'm not going to share about election. Those are things that can be taught later on. I'm going to share about the person of Christ. That died in our place as our substitute. And we are saved through him. And fourthly, we come after we shared those things. There's a summons. There must be faith and there must be repentance. You can write these down. Acts 17, verse 30. Says the ignorance of God was God overlooked. That is a certain ignorance of man. But now he commands that all people everywhere repent. When we hear the gospel, there's a command going out. When you hear the gospel of God and of sin and of his Christ, there must be repentance because it is commanded. John chapter 6 verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 3:23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another just as he commanded us. And so there is a command to believe. There's also a command to repent, and the two go together. Faith is the one side of the coin, and repentance is the other side of the coin. And the beginning of your Christian walk, you must believe, repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And you are going to do that right through your Christian life. You are going to repent and believe. And even the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went out, Mark chapter 1 verse 14, now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe." It's a command. It's not an option. It's a command that we have to repent and we have to believe the universal promise of salvation. That God has come to us. And the prophets and everyone is witnessing about this, that there is no other name through whom man can be saved but Jesus Christ. This faith is not an optimistic feeling. This faith is not, nor is repentance just a feeling. But faith is based upon facts, and faith is an act. It's something you do by casting and resting yourself and all your confidence in the promise of the mercy which is in Christ that has been given to sinners. And this is the promise of God: whoever believes in him will be saved. At the same time, this repentance is an act. It's a change of my mind and my heart. I am convinced of my sin. It is I've come to see it. It's a denying of myself, and it is a serving of the Savior. There needs to be faith and repentance upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is in this truth, that what God has promised before time in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Savior. His work is complete. His work that the Father has given him to do is complete and approved, and whomever believes in him, come to believe upon him, will be saved. And those who not only believe, but also repent, break with their past, and turn to Christ, they will be saved. Scripture talks about repentance. If any man come after me, he must hate his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters. Yeah, everyone. You cannot be my disciple . Repentance that God and Christ requires of his people is saying there is no limit. You are my Lord. I repent and I see your claims on my life, and I'm not going to limit that. You are my Lord, and I'm going to submit to you. Friends, when we think about the gospel is not a feeling, but it's something we hear. It's based upon God's plan for this world, and it requires a response. If you've heard the gospel this morning, and you do not respond in faith, you are disobedient to God. Because it's a command. Will you believe upon Christ this morning as your Savior and as your Lord? That this is God's provision. This is God's plan through his Son to mankind, who is desperately separated from a holy God. Have you had true conversion? Have you had true conviction of sin? What do you want your Savior to do for you? To set you free of your sin? I hope so. That's a true gospel. I pray that God may use his word in our church, in the lives here, and also as we go out this week to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us once and for all for sin, to unite us again to God. I'm going to ask Dr. Mack to pray, and I will see you at the door.